Good evening, all, and welcome to the Dark Aura Podcast. My apologies for not uploading any episodes recently. Life just got in the way. But I'm back, ready to narrate more stories. Shout out to my US listeners. Happy 4th of July. Be safe out there while you celebrate. Remember, if you have any stories you would like to share, send them my way at bellnikki204@gmail.com. That's Bell, BellNikki204@gmail.com. Now, sit back, relax, and let the night take over. Number 1. A man in the doorway. True story time. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and my parents had just separated. My mom was living in a 2-bedroom apartment. I had my own room, but I liked sleeping in her bed whenever I stayed with her. Our 2 bedrooms were at the end of the hallway, directly across from each other. Our apartment was on the 1st floor, and I remember that it was in the middle of the summer, and my mom had a window open in her room that was directly behind the bed. Anyways, I woke up in the middle of the night and remember sitting up and seeing that our cat was sitting in the doorframe of my mom's room. It was strange, because our cat was a huge snuggler and was typically always in bed with us. As I was watching him, he walked into my bedroom and meowed. I turned to face my mom and wake her up. In the 3-4 seconds it took her to wake up and ask me what was wrong, we both looked back in the doorframe. And there was a man, standing by my open door, making his way out of my bedroom. I still don't know how she managed to do it so quickly, but my mother proceeded to pick me up and literally throw me out of the screen window. Again, we were on the 1st floor, and it was maybe a 3-foot drop to the ground. She quickly followed, and we were able to start screaming for help, and someone called 911. The police came, but didn't see any signs of forced entry, only that our front door was unlocked, which led them to believe the man must have exited that way. But the strange thing was that my mom swore up and down that she had locked the door that night with a deadbolt and chain lock. About a week later, she was cleaning the kitchen and opened up our water heater closet and found a notebook with names and drawings, as well as a pair of gloves and some gum wrappers. The man had been in our house and hid until we were asleep. Number 2. The white SUV. When I was young, I'd say 8, 11-ish, my sister, who I'm 7 years older, would babysit me when my parents were out. At the time, she smoked a lot, and my parents made her smoke outside, of course. So, I'd follow her outside into the carport, which faced the street, and play around, annoy her, and such. One day, my sister notices a car at the end of the driveway, just sitting in the road. It was a white SUV, I believe a mid-90s Bravado, not sure, with a bike rack on top. It had the most tinted windows I had ever seen. You could not see inside from the outside. It sat there until she went inside, then would drive it to the end of the road and sit at the church parking lot and wait until she'd come out again for another smoke, and it would repeat this. Odd, but my sister is a brave lady and just kind of ignored it. That is, until the next day, while my parents were out again, it showed up again. It would sit at the end of the driveway and just watch. I don't know what the driver was doing, but he was watching my sister. If I didn't go out, I'd watch from the front window and it would just sit there, watching her. She told my father, who was a sheriff deputy at the time, and he called the cops and made a complaint. They showed up, looked around, but the SUV was nowhere to be seen. Months went by, and nothing. Then one day, a good 9 months after this had all started, and four-ish since the last sighting, it was back. It became a regular occurrence. Another day, my sister was outside doing her nasty habit, and sure enough, it came. This time, we were all alone as usual, and she decides that she had enough. She tells me to stay in the carport, and she's going to go confront them. She starts walking towards the SUV, and halfway down the driveway, she would lay a remark to us. I felt utter terror, like I knew if I went any further, I was dead. I was paralyzed by pure fear. She turned around and went inside. Finally, the family car was in the shop for some kind of issue, so we were all stuck home for a night and had to get delivery and such. While my parents were home, my sister goes outside to smoke. I go outside with her, and eventually, the SUV shows up. She tells me to run inside and tell my father, and I do. My dad promptly gets his gun and starts briskly walking down the driveway with it in hand, in the direction of the SUV, but not level towards it. The SUV floored it down the road and peeled out onto the nearby large highway. My dad, being a cop, noted the year and model and distinguishing features. The scariest thing? The license plate had been covered in duct tape. We never saw it again. Number 3. I used to visit my friend at her house out in a rural farming area before she moved. I'd sleep over a lot, and we'd just hang out and draw. I usually slept in the living room on the couch, and there were two mirrors in the room fairly close to the TV. When the TV was off and I was walking by, I started seeing shadows move behind me. I thought it was just a warped TV screen or something. Then, one evening, I walked into the living room to get my sketchbook so I could sketch in her bedroom. I bent over and picked it up, stood up straight, looked in the mirror, and there was a man behind me. A man standing in the hallway leading to the living room. He was average height, bald and a bit old. I turned to look at him, and no one was there. Turned to look at the mirror again, and he was gone. I felt a little spooked. Another time, we were just sitting in the living room, and we heard what sounded like a little kid's footsteps running across the upstairs quickly. She had two adult siblings, but they were out at work, leaving us alone. Around that time, I decided to sleep in my friend's room instead of the living room, only to wake up in the middle of the night to see four of her posters slowly get peeled off the wall. It wasn't them falling and dragging each other down. They looked as if someone were carefully unsticking the tape and taking them down. The next morning, my friend put them back up, saying, I need to get a better tape for these. She and her family eventually moved out because they couldn't afford to live there anymore. We had never really talked about what happened in the house, as if talking about it would make it worse. But after she moved, I finally said, Dude, your house was haunted. I hope you realize that. She replied with, Yeah, I knew it was. Some guy and his granddaughter lived here, but he killed her, and then himself, so it was probably them or something. I didn't tell you because I didn't want to scare you away from hanging out with me. She then dug out a copy of a news article she got from a local paper about the murder. The picture that went with the article was a picture of the man I saw standing behind me. Unfortunately, I have no clue where to find that article now, or if my friend still has her copy. If I did, though, if I dug enough, I could probably find it. But I don't have the time, and I don't live near that area anymore. I don't even remember her town name or address because they moved out close to 10 years ago. So you'll have to take my word for it. Number 4. This is one of two paranormal experiences I've had that I have a hard time wrapping my head around. It's a long read, but worth it. I've suffered from insomnia as far back as I can remember. I was in second grade, and it was really early in the morning, I think around 5 or so. I had a little TV on my nightstand and was definitely watching Lord of the Rings on VHS. I had the volume up super loud because my ceiling fan always made a ruckus throughout the night. I was super into the movie when all of a sudden, all of the sound around me started to slowly fade away. I remember I became confused and reached to turn my TV up, thinking it had broken, but then I realized the sound of the fan had faded with it. The only way I can describe it is comparing it to someone turning the volume down on a car radio. I was suddenly overwhelmed by an intense feeling of euphoria. I have never experienced anything like it. I absolutely cannot describe how utterly at peace I felt. I was able to comprehend what was happening, and then it clicked in my head that I was dying. Keep in mind that I'm in second grade, so this is a pretty intense conclusion, but I just knew. I rolled over onto my back, ready to, and excited to accept my fate. That was when I saw it. There was a large white figure in my doorway, just hovering and pulsating a white aura. I quickly panicked and began calling out for my brother. His room was across the hall. The figure glided to the end of my bed and just sat there, watching. I'm not really sure how much time passed, but the figure suddenly vanished. Sound came back, and the euphoria disappeared. I jumped out of bed and ran into my brother's room, where I practically flew into his bed. He woke up, and when he saw how panicked I was, he began to panic as well. I was hysterical and just kept telling him it was a ghost. We did what any other kid would do and hid under the covers. After a while, we got anxious, and I bravely made a peephole in the blanket to check the time on the clock, hoping that it would be daylight soon. 5:30. The clock read 5:30 in the morning. Then the phone rang, and it rang, and it rang, and it rang. My brother and I started to panic even more. Then silence. Once again, it began to ring and ring and ring. We jumped out of bed and took turns running from light switch to light switch until we had a light path to the living room. We got to the living room and watched cartoons until my mom woke up. She was livid, yelling at us for being up so early. I told her I saw a ghost, which only made her more upset. My brother, who was always tormenting my irrational fears, got mad at her and started telling her this wasn't a joke and it wasn't my imagination. I started telling her to check the phone because I saw the ghost around 5:30 and it must have been the ghost calling. Kid logic. She went to check the phone and went to the other room for a while. Suddenly, she wasn't upset anymore. When we asked if it was said ghost, she said it was a telemarketer. She was so nice about it, she let me sleep in her room for the next few days. I thought maybe since it was my brother's birthday that day, she didn't want to argue. But she never let me sleep in her room. I got home from school on the 15th. I saw the ghost in the early hours on the 13th. My mom called me to the family room and told me to sit in her lap and that she needed to tell me something. I obliged. My great-grandma passed away in the hospital at 5:30 in the morning, and the phone calls were my grandma calling to notify us. Me and my great-grandma were extremely close. To this day, I get chills thinking about it. I know that there are a few ways to explain the occurrence, but I know for a fact that it was 100% a paranormal experience. My brother still backs me up on it today. Number 5. I worked security at a hospital for 15 years. This is what finally made me quit. I worked security there for a long time. Between the long hours and close coworkers, it was like a second home to me. I'd been there longer than anyone else, so the newbies always came to me for advice. For the most part, I liked my job. We lived in a small area, so chaotic events were rare. I worked in the basement, just a morgue and some storage closets, so my shifts were always quiet and peaceful. It was a particularly slow night. We only had two bodies in storage. They were of a mother and a daughter, fresh from a murder-suicide. According to the report, it was a pretty horrific scene. The mother shot her daughter point-blank in the chest, and then turned the gun on herself. The poor girl was only 8 years old. It was almost abnormal for the town. We lived in such a small area that the only crimes we really ever had were drug-related. I was filing paperwork in my desk when I heard the tapping noise coming from down the hall. This piqued my interest because everyone else working on the floor had gone home for the day. I got up to investigate. The sound grew louder as I approached the morgue. I went into the morgue and heard the sound coming from drawer number 6. I read at the attached clipboard to find out who or what was in there. It was the daughter's body. I placed the clipboard back in place, and the tapping stopped abruptly. Curious, I placed my ear to the drawer to see what I could hear. That's when the power went out. The drawer began to shake violently. Metal roared and clanged together as I jumped back and fumbled around for my flashlight. I shined my light on the drawer as it shook and the clipboard fell off. It began to shake open, and then it stopped out of nowhere. What the heck? I struggled for air as I shined my light around to make sure no one was there, messing with me. I was terrified. I looked back at the drawer, and there stood a little girl in a white dress. I jumped, but tried my best to gain my composure. "What are you doing here? Where are your parents?" I asked, gently. The girl didn't move. She stood in place, staring blankly past me. "Come with me. We'll go upstairs and try to figure this out, okay?" I gently reached out my hand to grab her, and she let out a scream. I recoiled, startled. "Mommy, please!" she pleaded, still staring at the wall behind me. There were tears in her eyes. I heard a gunshot go off, and blood began pouring from her chest. Her white dress began turning a crimson red as she collapsed on the floor. "No, no, 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 no!" I cried as I dropped to my knees to check for a pulse. I feel nothing. My hands were covered in blood. I tried to radio for help, but all I could hear on the other end was deafening static. I sobbed as her blood spilled out on the floor. I turned around with my hands on my head, trying to catch my breath and think of a plan. I turned around, and she was gone. No sign that she was ever there. My hands were now clean. Wanting to comfort myself and think rationally of the situation, I tried to brush it off as some sort of mental breakdown, that I would just take a few days off work, and it'd all be fine. I went back to my office to try and calm down, but all I could think about was that little girl. The fear in her eyes as she collapsed. I decided I needed a cigarette to calm my nerves. The power was still out, so trying the elevators was useless. I tried to open the door in the stairwell, and to my horror, it was locked. I was stuck down there. The full realization of all the events leading up to this moment set in, and I began to panic. I couldn't catch my breath. It was in that moment that I heard a door open and close, and a strange, wheezing, gurgling sound that I've never heard before. I felt a chill down my spine as I was hit with an immense amount of dread. My blood turned to ice when I realized that sound was coming from a chemical storage closet. I slowly crept towards the closet as the sense of dread grew larger. I opened the door, and a naked woman was facing the wall.
"Ma'am, you can't be in here," I said.
No response.
"Ma'am, judging by your wheeze, you could use some medical attention. Let me take you upstairs and we can get you the help you need."
I placed my hand on her shoulder
and she turned around. She had a hole the size of a baseball blown straight through her face. "Holy crap!" I screamed as I turned to run. She was chasing me. I ran back to my office and slammed and locked the door behind me. She began pounding on the door. I used my weight to hold it shut. "If you're real, God, I need you to help me out here," I begged. The pounding grew louder. I managed to move a filing cabinet in front of the door and hold up in the corner of the room. The pounding grew faster and louder. The filing cabinet fell over. The pounding stopped. I let out a breath I'd been holding and slid down the wall. I wondered if I was going to die down here. I needed to figure this out. I gathered enough courage to stand up and head back to the morgue. I was terrified, but I knew I had to do something if I wanted to get out of here. The faceless woman was dragging her body along behind me, leaving a bloody trail down the hallway. I almost had a feeling of calmness, like she wasn't there to hurt me. I opened drawer 8, the one where the mother's body was being kept. It was the same woman laying there. "What happened to you?" I whispered. Suddenly, I was thrown across the room and pinned to the wall. "Please don't do this! I'm trying to help you!" I then saw the same scene of the little girl play out, but this time, it was much different. I saw the gun and her assailant. Her mother was standing in front of her. "Robert, please! She's just a child! She's your daughter!" she sobbed. "That isn't my daughter. Now move!" the man said as he pushed the mother aside. "No, no, no, Robert!" she screamed and reached for the gun. They struggled. She was shot in the face. "Mommy, please!" the little girl cried. She was shot in the chest. The man placed the gun in her mother's hand. I was released from the wall. The power came back on, and I fell to my knees and cried and cried. This wasn't a murder-suicide. It was a double homicide. I stood up and walked to the elevator, staring blankly ahead, trying to process everything that happened. I went up to the ground floor and walked out. I didn't say goodbye to anyone. I didn't tell anyone I was leaving. I sat in my armchair at home and stared at the wall. I didn't sleep well that night. The next morning, I called the police station and made an anonymous tip. Her ex-husband, Robert, was arrested on 2 counts of first-degree murder. To this day, I refuse to go back in that building, but I sleep better at night, knowing that I may have helped bring peace to the dead. Thank you all for listening to tonight's episode. Please let me know what type of scary stories you would like to hear next. I've just set up a Facebook page as well, so you can post or private message me your stories there. This podcast is now available on Anchor, Apple Podcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. Good night, and may the dark aura surround you in your sleep. Carpe noctem, seize the night.